Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Oh,
the boys
yeah.
are back. The Backstreet Boys are back. I'll be back. Whatever other whatever other back reference you want to use there. But the Roxanne's here. We had a bit of a break, I think, for a few weeks. Sorry about that. But not to worry. We've got an action-packed episode for you, as always. Just to give you a little bit of a taste as to what you might expect, the 100th episode is now crucially near. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about what celebrity listener the Roxanne Pod has. I mean, this is news to me. Mikey must have been in contact with someone here. The last chance qualifiers that happened in Cologne this weekend just gone. And, of course, we get to meet the esteemed Roxanne Berghain Boys. I forget the name we gave it. Relay team. There we go. So, without further ado, 3, 2, 1, it's go-go time.
Roxanne in ya!
Roxanne in.
So, this episode is pretty much the biggest Hyrox news special there has ever been in the history of not only our show, but I think every other Hyrox-based show there is. And that's because there is just so much to talk about.
I even had to cut some news from this episode. There was so much news out there this week, Max.
Wow. So much news. Well, as opposed to talking about real news, let's start talking about ourselves, right?
Yay.
Because, you know... This is the Roxanne. The 100th episode. It's coming up. We're so close to it. We're 3 episodes away from our century landmark. And we've decided that we're going to be recording our 100th episode over the Hyrox London weekend.
Yeah, we are. So what we're planning to do is head back to where we were last year. And we're inviting everyone to join us at the Cumberland Arms, AKA, as Ben tells me, it's called The Sausage, which is a pub just around the corner from Kensington Olympia on Sunday, the 5th of May. We still need to work out the exact time, but I reckon it's going to be about 5 p.m. because obviously Hyrox is keeping us waiting for our race time, so we won't know when we're racing until then.
Classic. Okay, but it is going to be on the Sunday, right? Yeah. So we're kind of locking that bit in.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the full Roxanne podcast squad as well. So that is myself, Nathan, Mikey, Tom, and Ben.
Come on.
And we're all going to be in the room. So pick your favorite. We won't be offended.
I'm quite happy with second place in that list. Ben's going to be guy because it's not even how it was scripted. So.
Well, you know what? To get into the pub, we're going to have to form 5 orderly lines, right? And the person representing each member of the squad to really make sure someone's ego gets hurt. I think that will make for a great episode, you know, if someone's sulking in the corner.
We should do one of those BuzzFeed articles where it's like, are you a Max? Are you a Ben? Are you a Tom? Are you a Mikey? Or are you a Nathan?
Another brilliant idea, which we have absolutely no capacity or intention of ever following up. So 100%. We have booked out an area. So please do just turn up, whoever your favorite is, even if none of us are your favorite. There's no fee. There's no ticket required. And we're going to be here sharing a few stories over a few drinks, perhaps. And I'm certain a few laughs will be had.
And on the topic of High Rocks London, did you guys see last Thursday that High Rocks revealed that High Rocks Young Stars is coming?
I mean, obviously, I didn't see that. we have you to fill us in.
That's all right. It was in the email, right?
Yeah, it was in the email. It was on Instagram and things like that. So,
I mean, you would have thought that on a weekend of me racing a High Rocks, I would have had a look at that, but yeah. Not. Sorry.
All over it, Max. That's what I like to hear. Well, I just thought I'd share it anyway. You know, it's basically a new race format that's coming to High Rocks London, but it's designed for 8 to 15-year-olds.
Okay.
And it's their version of High Rocks. So they kind of do similar to what we do, but a little bit different. And they've got 9 things to do. So they've got to do a shuttle run. Then they do a ski erg. Then they do a Stixits pull. I have Googled Stixits. Even Google doesn't know what a Stixits is. But apparently it's something similar to a sled pull.
Right, Mikey. I have the benefit of having seen these being showcased at Malone this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just Googled it to confirm it. It is what I thought it was. It's basically long, skinny sandbags. I don't know. I saw someone do a tennis swing with it, and I mean, their slogan is "Be different, train human, train different, be human." It's very confusing, but they're part of the High Rocks 365 official product category.
Okay. This all makes a lot more sense because they keep talking about using these Stixits all throughout this race. So obviously it means they're quite adaptable and they can be used in different scenarios and stuff like that.
Well, we will wait and see what happens, because right now I'm looking at a catalogue of long, skinny sandbags that weigh anywhere from 1K to 15K, and I'm not quite sure what this is about. So yeah, okay, great.
Well, anyway, yeah, then they've got to do a Stixits pull, they've got another slalom shuttle run to do, then they do some horizontal jumps, some rowing, another obstacle shuttle run, farmers carries, and they end on the wall balls. The wall balls sound pretty tough, actually, because they've got to do, I think the heaviest ball they've got to do is 4 kilograms, and they've got to do 50 of them. I was like, I think a lot of adults would struggle with that.
It's like a 15-year-old doing 4K. Like, that's the normal women's weight, right? Like, fair play. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I thought it sounds super cool, but it also sounds super complicated, all these super different workouts. I'm like, I really feel for the judges. They're going to, but Nathan, you're in. You're the only man for the job.
Well, I'm not sure Nathan is the man for the job, because Nathan's known to crush souls.
But he'll learn early. So when the adults will follow the rules.
Do we want to make young stars into young, depressive adults? I don't know.
I've noticed there's no lunges. Like, no, if he sticks it, so as you describe, Max, like sandbags, they could do some Stixits lunges.
Yeah. It's amazing you weren't put on the Young Stars committee, Nathan. It's truly baffling. I mean, there's not much to be said other than great. If you're getting younger athletes involved in High Rocks and just sport in general, Stixits in or out, like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. We were talking about that this week, actually, Max, weren't we? Like, the sort of evolution of High Rocks and things like that. And so it's good to see, like, something like this has been announced, right?
Yeah. Try and mix up the mold a little bit. You know, High Rocks is great and all, but let's see if we can get a little bit more variance in. And this seems like a great thing to do. You know, why not?
If you're 8 to 15 years old. Rocks?
Yeah. Well, no, hang on. What I was going to say, why not race a High Rocks, but bring the whole family? So, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
A parent of someone who has a child aged 8 to 15 might be able to bring them along. So yeah, there you go.
Right. So those are the main announcements, but moving on to more news. The next thing I want to tell you about, guys, is our celebrity listener.
I mean, I'm dying to know who this is. What are we talking about here? What category of celebrity?
Who do you reckon it is? A-lister. Straight up. Big A-lister.
Big A-list.
They're not Welsh.
So instantly, they can only at maximum be a C-tier celebrity then in Nathan's eyes, right? A-list celebrity. Can we make this into a bit more of a game, Mikey? Can you give us some like clues, or is that just good radio?
Well, no. I'll tell you what. Why don't we play a little bit of 20 questions?
20 questions right now. Okay.
We'll short it down to 5. Go on, play a game of 5 questions. Come on.
5 questions. We've already blown through 1, Nathan. Great. So let's go with, are they male or female?
They're male.
Okay.
Are they... I'm next, Matt.
Oh, sorry.
Hold up.
so sorry.
Is a celebrity known as an athlete or is it from another domain?
As an athlete.
Okay. Would we have seen them on the telly before because they participate in a sport that's well watched?
I would say yes, but a little bit of a clue, maybe a little while ago, not current athlete necessarily.
Okay.
I'm a bit stuck on another question, Max, and you got another one.
I see how it is. I was gonna say, what sport is it?
Oh no! I'm that'll give it away.
So it must be a niche sport. Darts, maybe. Maybe like Phil Taylor.
Phil Taylor. Phil Taylor's recently taken on a Hyrox affinity, has he?
Great guess.
Ronnie O'Sullivan. You know he's into his running.
Looks like Nathan used up your last 2 questions then, Max.
Great.
On Phil Taylor and Ronnie O'Sullivan. And I can tell you categorically, you're both wrong.
Great.
Now, by the way, guys, just small caveat to this celebrity listener. I might have lied when I said they're a celebrity listener because I can't actually confirm 100% that they've listened to this podcast. But I'm pretty sure they listened to our last episode on doping in Hyrox because I think they got the wrong idea because none other than Lance Armstrong has revealed he's training for a Hyrox.
What?
Yeah.
No way has Lance Armstrong listened to us. No way. No way. Sorry. How have you pieced this together, Mikey? How have you confirmed that there's even the slightest of chance that he knows who we are?
Well, think about it, right? The king of doping, literally doping in sport, he would be the like headline boy, right?
Yes.
We do an episode on doping in sport.
Yes.
And then the next minute, Lance Armstrong turns up and he's like posting, yeah, I'm racing a Hyrox. So ipso facto, he's clearly listened to our podcast and has decided to race. That's the logic I've got here.
Airtight, in my opinion. I was going to ask Nathan for his opinion, but let's not risk it because he's going to ruin it. So yeah, Lance Armstrong, fan of the show. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the Rock 2 family.
Also, I was thinking when I saw that Lance Armstrong is actually, he genuinely is going to do Hyrox. He said that's what he's training for at the moment. And I just thought, mate, if that guy gets on the podium, everyone's going to be like, test him immediately.
Poor man. He will be just a serious caliber athlete.
He would be. Oh, he would be.
Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of great accomplishments, I'd like to cast your mind back to last episode where the big piece of Hyrox news was that Travis Owls and Callum Brett were going to attempt to do 12 Hyroxes in 24 hours. And, they've only gone and bloody done it, haven't they? Don't know why I did that voice. Please edit it out. That was awful. Yeah, great. huge congratulations to those two.
Big up.
I think we've got a voice note straight from the finish line.
Hello, lads. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm currently sat in a Nando's post-challenge. It was good. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, but we got the 12 complete. There were many points where we thought it wasn't going to be done, but yeah, we mustered up strength, we got through it, and now we're limping around in Nando's, ready to get some chicken inside of me. But yeah, it was so good. Really good atmosphere in the gym. Just want to shout out everyone who turned up to come and support, everyone who joined in with one of the high rocks beside us. And thanks to everyone that's donated to McMillan. And well done to my high rocks partner, Callum, as well. It was good fun. And yeah, cheers, boys.
Aww. Well, congratulations, boys. Serious, serious endeavour there.
Absolutely.
No doubt there was moments of disbelief where you thought, nah, there's no way we're doing this. So kudos to you. I hope you raised
it. I enjoyed the fact with Trav's voice note there was, first of all, that his voice had nearly gone. So that just showed the effort that had been put in for 24 hours. Yes. And also the gratuitous mentions of Nando's. I hope they're sponsoring them as well.
I mean, where else would you go? Where else would you go if you're two,
exactly,
two young whippersnappers?
True story.
Where else would you celebrate? And when did they finish? They finished at 12 p.m., right? So at noon. So
yeah.
What are you going to do? Other than eat chicken and go straight to bed. That makes perfect sense.
Okay, the final thing we need to talk about is the last chance qualifiers that happened in Cologne over the weekend. So for a quick bit of context, in case anybody doesn't know, this was the last European race where individuals could race to try and make it into the Elite 15 at the World Champs in Nice. There's actually another one happening in Anaheim in the States in the next few weeks. I'm not sure on the exact date, but the athletes who were victorious in claiming their spot in the Elite 15 at the World Champs were. So this is for the women. We had, and I'm going to try and get everyone's name right here. We had from Great Britain, we had Zara Pierre-Gianna, who came in first place. Then we had from Germany, Jana Leibenstedt. And then in third place, we had Kate Davey. So there was three spots for the women over here. And then over for the men.
Just quickly, before you do the men.
Yes.
We know of Zara. She raced in Austria, I believe.
Yes.
Jana is a new name, at least for me. Apologies if I'm being oblivious to a serious athlete there. And is Kate she Precision Pro Golf?
Yes. Kate, yeah. So I think she was included in all of the Elite 15 races this season. So yeah, she finally secured a qualifying spot this weekend.
Well, good for her. Good for all three of those ladies.
Big up all of them. It's not, well, you know, selfishly, it's nice to see two Brits in there as well, which is cool.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then flipping over to the men. So there was only one spot available for the men. It was none other than our boy, James Kelly. Come on, JK in the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, for a bit of context, I actually had to message Mike because I completely forgot about this. I'll be honest and say, did our boy make it to the Elite 15?
Yeah. And he did.
I believe he did.
Yeah, he got the second fastest time ever. So, like, the only man who's gone faster than him is Hunter with his world record. So, I mean, it's a huge time.
What a boy.
Absolutely, Max. And, of course, you were in Cologne this weekend as well. You caught up with JK, right?
I did, yeah. It was, like I said, I didn't know it was happening, I'll be honest, but I'm also not surprised that there was a qualifying event and JK happened to be there because, let's be honest, he's the Iron Man of High Rocks. He'll go wherever in the world to try and get a spot.
Real talk.
I mean, we invite him on the show a lot where, you know, Mikey's trained by him and we've gotten to know him pretty well, and he is an absolute just hero. I love him to bits. He is such a funny, charismatic man. And he was on tip-top form this weekend. And by that, I don't mean qualifying for that shitty race no one cares about. I joke. But rather,
we're on a High Rocks podcast right now, Max.
I'm kidding. I say good form in that he was so delighted about what happened on Saturday that I've never seen JK drink this much full stop, just ever. And from said drunk conversation with James, well, quite a lot was revealed. So firstly and foremostly, he thanks his new trainer for his rapid progression to the top. Now, Mikey, you know this better than I do, but it's Lauren Weeks's husband, I believe.
Yeah, Lauren Weeks's husband. Yeah, so she's obviously current world champ, and her husband's a running. I think he specializes in running, but obviously has now branched into high rocks.
Do you know his name as well, or has that slipped your mind as well?
Yeah. He's called Anthony Peresine.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
For showing off my title.
Look, clearly his training worked. He being JK and an elite athlete, he showed me his training plan, which is insane, by the way. Okay. Like, it is absolutely insane. He showed me what his one day is. It's in one day, he does as much as someone would do in a week. I'm not joking. It's ridiculous. But in any case, he put down the second fastest ever time in high rocks history. I mean, what the hell?
Incredible.
The last thing that I'm gonna share on mine and JK's very intoxicated chat Mikey gave me a bit of a task to ask JK on how he feels about Alex Ronkovich.
I sent you some of what I'd like to call hard hitting journalistic questions based around high rocks.
Yes, you did. And this is what we sent Mikey. Play the clip, please.
Right, this is bonus content for all you listeners. James is going to comment on the state of... JK is going to comment on the state of American politics. James, what do you make of the situation in America?
It's really, really good. I think it's really healthy.
I'm gonna need a little bit more substance here. What are you referring to specifically?
The industrial climate is really, really good.
It's amazing you do not work on the political campaign for the Republicans.
I'm a high rocks athlete, mate. Nothing else.
I couldn't tell.
What a brilliant finish to that.
That kind of summed up the conversations that were had at a table in the Cologne city center with Ryan Kent sat to JK's left, his girlfriend Georgie to my left. So I don't think there's much more to say. That's the sound of a very, very happy man.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, one thing that I do want to talk about from the weekend though is, and I'm keen to get your take on this, boys, is so Alex Ronkovich picked up two world records over the weekend. The first one was in the mixed doubles with Alice Shearer. They got a time of 50 minutes and 58 seconds. And then he also got the men's open world record in a time of 50 minutes and 38 seconds. So two amazing times. And I definitely want to say at this point, we love and respect Alex on this pod.
Yes. Mate, he's the king of unbroken warbles. I mean,
Exactly. How can we not respect the guy? But the big question is it okay for an elite athlete to race in the open category and claim world records? What do we think?
I'm going to bite my tongue here and give Nathan the floor. I mean, this is for Nathan, this question.
It's a very tricky one. I've been looking at a bit of a Facebook forum. And,
of course you have.
If ever you need to feel good about yourself, go visit that forum. It's full of positive messages.
Well, friend of a show, Mark Lewis. Is he friend of a show?
Yeah, I'd say he's a friend of the show.
Okay. Well, you know, he feels very strongly that, he thinks if you podium in open, you should never, you know, race in the open category.
Well, to be fair, Alex had never podiumed in open before. So,
I don't know. I can see it both ways. You know, you can view it as he's taken someone else's place, a mere mortal. But I tend to think, you know, he's he's welcome to it, if, you know. So I don't see that much wrong with it. Maybe if I were going for the men's open first place, I might think, you know, that kind of sucks. But there's not much you can do you can do about it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, tell people if you've raced an elite before, you can't do open. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. I was really just asking the question because I was just interested to know what you boys boys' take was on it. But I think, like, the things that I've kind of thought was this season has been an insane step up with the speed of athletes. So seeing it in there. And I also wondered his reasons for doing the open race. I wondered maybe what are we're something like 8 weeks, 9 weeks away from the world champs, I think. So I just wondered if it was almost like to him, it was almost like a simulation, but he didn't want to do a pro race. He wanted to almost like a,
maybe just keep the legs fresh, keep the engine running.
Does that make sense?
I think it does. So, I mean, being at Cologne, I saw a lot of familiar faces, like big names in the Hyrox household as such. So Meg was there, Linda Meyer was there. Both of them set a new world record, I believe, in the women's doubles.
Oh, did they? Sick.
Yes. Ryan Kent was there. JK was obviously there. Tobias Lautwein, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple of other good people off that list. Viola Oberländer was another one who was there. So some serious high hitting or like hard hitting high caliber athletes were there, right? And this is where I'm curious to throw the ball back at you. Perhaps I saw a lot of them take part in the relay races.
Yeah.
And them being the serious athletes that they are, they took it very, very seriously.
Yeah.
As they would, right? But this is my question to both of you, and perhaps we need a whole episode to unpack this properly, but is Hyrox getting a little bit too obsessed and focused on performance and attainment? Because you're seeing these like top dogs take all these new world records and like try and beat each other out. And, you know, I was there, there was another like, sorry for context. I took some new people there to Hyrox and they were like, oh great, we were there and we saw new world records straight away. And I had to explain to them, actually, that's nothing special because there's a new world record that gets set at every single race. It feels like, tell me I'm wrong, but that is the case, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the early days of the sport, right? So, you know, world records are going to be broken regularly as you know, people improve year on year. Like I just said, like the standard has increased massively this year. You know, if you were a guy last year and you could do a Hyrox in 65 minutes, you were on the podium almost guaranteed. These days, unless you go under an hour, there's no guarantee that you're going to be on the podium in any age category even, you know, and I don't know. I mean, like the difficult thing, the thing that I love about Hyrox, but to your point is can sometimes be its detriment, is that there is so much stats and information. I mean, this is Nathan's like, you know, a wet dream of a sport, really, isn't it? You know, like when there are so many numbers, it's hard not to get obsessed with, oh, how do I improve this? How do I do that? And it does sort of lean into that sort of thing. But I you know, I think the other thing that is really challenging for the sport is that because unlike other races, so take the marathon, you run from A to B. You have the elites at the front or the pros at the front, and then you have the everyone else at the back, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with Hyrox, everyone's on the course at the same time. So then that kind of can mix in the fun side with the serious side. And I think that's sometimes where the challenge comes. And I've thought about different ways that they could do that, but it is a really hard thing to manage, I think.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Right. Okay. Well, closing remarks, Nathan. Is Hyrox getting too focused on times?
You mean as opposed to focusing on the rules? Could be. could be.
True. We know where.
Are you mean fun? All right, you mean fun. I don't know. Don't ask me about fun.
The rules are fun.
exactly that. Okay, well, look, maybe we'll touch on that in a later episode. I do want to share two more things, actually, that I noticed in Cologne. One thing, of course, it was the first time I think any of us in the Rock Zone have raced with the new center equipment.
Mm-hmm. And did you like it?
So I'm going to have to be, and I want to be completely honest. Look, we're independent from HYROX. You know, we do this off our own steed. So I'm going to be brutally honest and say I felt like it was an accidental downgrade. is my honest opinion on this.
What does that mean? You sent me this. Well, I don't quite get that. What do you mean?
Right. Okay. So by that I mean is you've tried to upgrade it, and in doing so, you've actually downgraded it.
Right,
I think the equipment you had from, was it Wolverson?
Something like that. Wolverson. Yeah.
Yeah. Was better. And
couple of examples.
Look, the main equipment as such, that isn't the rowers, because I think that's just going to be concept two forever, and why not? They're great, they work. Actually, as I'm saying that, my bloody concept two row was broken in Cologne. Would you believe I got a faulty rower.
I was thinking about
doing a Sandy and just standing up and like
doing a Sandy. What a great
The rower, the seat was slanted, so the whole time I was leaning to the left, I was tempted to get up and take another row, and I thought, nah, you've already done 50 meters, you've earned this. I'm not doing more than I need to. So sorry back to the actual center topic. I think outside of that, the main equipment as such is the sled, right? And I think the center equipment certainly looks cooler, or the sled looks cooler. However, two things. I think the width of the bars that stick out for the sled push is too narrow. I was used to being able to fit my shoulders right the way through it, and I couldn't do that with as much ease. I think they were slightly narrower. That's one thing. Of it's not necessarily worse, but it's an adaptation that I don't want to make if I don't need to.
It's quite a big, if you've trained that way, it's quite a big change to find out on the day, isn't it? So yeah, fair play.
Yeah, that wasn't the greatest thing. The other thing that I noticed is that the ropes on the sled pull were very stiff, in the sense that they weren't as floppy. Great. It was hard because it was soft. Right, okay,
so let me get this right. The ropes have got a narrow girth and they're quite stiff.
On girth, actually, I didn't notice any change in girth, as JK suggested quite a few episodes ago. But they weren't as floppy, which meant that they got caught up
on the ends of,
so the sled poles, they don't have the big like vertical metal poles in them, right? They don't equip that on the sled, so there's just the little like raised holes where you would slide those in if you were to do the push, and they got caught tangled around that. And I saw that on a couple of them, and for whatever reason, is this my doing, is it the carpet, I don't know, but my sled pulled to the left. And it was fortunate that the guy I was racing with to my left was at a different pace than I was, because if he was, our sleds would have crashed. That's how much it was veering to the left. Wasn't super impressed with that. And then the last thing on center was, you know how the kettlebells perfectly color coordinated with the wristbands that they give you now, which is a really cool system, right? They took shades of gray that were too similar to one another, so I actually picked up the wrong kettlebell, and I feel like it was in old format, it was black, gray, white in order from heaviest to lightest, right? Yeah. And these were all just different shades of gray, I felt. So I'm
50
I'm
shades
not
of gray.
Got 50 yeah. shades of Christian Gray, yeah.
So Max, how do you notice it was the wrong weight? Did you just
because in the most casual, apathetic way, a judge like leaning back on a pillar pointed at me and said, "Nah, those are the wrong ones." I've never seen a judge less bothered to be there. This person, and she let me pick up the wrong weights, only to then stop me before I was going to go into the actual farmer's carry lane and say, "No, you've got the wrong ones."
Cheers.
So that's my review on Center. Cool. I don't want to like put too much emphasis this. I don't want to nail my thing to the coffin. I don't know what the saying is. What I'm getting at is I want to have a couple more races to experience
sure.
it.
Sure.
But that's my first impression.
It's usually the way, though, that this sort of stuff, you just got to get used to the new adaptation. At the end of the day, it's the same for everyone. And I know I'm going to moan about it when I do it in my first race in London, but, you know, just get over it.
And then you're going to share all about it on our show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it's exactly that. It's you do need to get used to it. But then the question is, why? Like, if it's not notably better,
money.
Why
come on, Max. You know that what it's about. It's all about the deal.
Words not
it,
mine.
At the end of the day,
your words not mine.
Yeah. Okay. If you've got Chris Hemsworth as the poster boy for it, I mean, you're going to take that over a brand that is less well known, aren't you? At the end of the day,
you most certainly would.
Sorry.
Final thing on Cologne. The warm-up area, huge improvement.
Nice.
I'm not sure if we can expect this for all European races now, but they had a really thick carpeted AstroTurf, if you want to call it that, with like burpee lanes measured out on it. They had wall balls in there. They had, I want to say, at least 10 assault runners for people to warm up on that. Great. Like, thank you so much for adding that in Hyrox and not letting people run around the venue, because you do need to warm your running up. It's a bloody running event. Come on. Mm. And because the carpet was so thick and spongy, you had no problem just lying down anywhere and doing your stretches, which is something that I've struggled with in the past. So kudos all round. It looked much better. It felt much better. You could actually warm up in there. Not that I got much time to spend in there, because I arrived 20 minutes before the start of my race. That is on me. Okay. That wraps up my Cologne experience. So Hyrox Berlin is happening this weekend, which means the next Roxzone podcast challenge is just days away.
Come on.
And if you remember a few episodes ago, I asked the community to put their submissions forward to join me in a relay team. Not expecting anyone to get back to me in full honesty, but the one prerequisite was that you must be willing to race in the Berlin Berghain attire, which I made up on the spot there and there. And those stupid enough to put themselves forward were none other than Andy Paul. And we don't quite know, is his name Riss or Rice, but it will all be disclosed right now, because Paul and Riss are joining us on the call. Welcome, boys.
Hello.
Thanks again.
Right, before we continue, Riss, tell us your name.
I mean, what would you like it to be?
I know what I'd like.
Because with the outfit I got to wear for this race, I think you can pretty much call me what you want. But if you want my Christian name, it's Riss.
Riss, okay. Nathan, is that what you said?
I said
Riss. Nathan should know, because it's the Welsh spelling as well.
Well, that's exactly what I told them, but, you know, they didn't listen.
Fine. Let's get straight into it. Outfits. Paul, tell me, what are you going to be wearing for us in Berlin?
It's very leather heavy. In the Berlin weekend, I'll be wearing more leather than I've ever worn in my life up until this point. So I'm quite excited. It's leather shorts, which thankfully are a lot more elastic than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, nice. You've tried it on already.
Yeah, I've tried it on.
With a locked bedroom door, I imagine.
Yeah, curtains closed. Make sure absolutely no one can see. What isn't as tight is the dog collar that I'm planning to wear on my neck. It was advertised as a medium-sized dog, which I guess would be like a border collie or something, but just about fits on my neck.
I love that it's actually a dog collar.
Yeah. it's good to know that Paul's neck size is that of a normal male Labrador and not a border collie. Useful pieces of information Paul didn't need in his life, but yeah, there we go.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. I mean, what's topping the dog collar, Paul? What else are you doing?
Kind of a mesh vest. Okay. Which when very I googled sexy. Yeah, what a Berlin Ravers actually look like. They that came up quite a lot. So that's quite an easy one to get.
Okay.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, that was a must. I did say sunglasses are a must. So yeah.
It's racing outside as well, so could be needed on those on those runs.
Yeah.
Leather trench coat to top it off.
Oh my god, I was ready to jump in at any point and say that's fantastic, and you just come up with more and more ridiculous items. I mean, it's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, Rhys, you're up next. What are you going to be delighting us with?
Well, I think I might need to accessorize a little bit more because I get reeling off. I think I've gone a little bit more efficient, actually. Whatever it was, it definitely made me question my life choices when I tried it on. I did consider leather, but I'm like a furnace when I race, so I was afraid that it might melt off my body completely by the time I was done. So I've gone for more practical, in the spirit of German engineering. I've gone for practicality and efficiency. So both my shorts and my top, my crop top, are fishnet, so a mesh style, like Paul was describing his vest. And then at the moment, I've just gone with some circular red steampunk style sunglasses.
Okay.
So just to talk about, but I may have to go to the pet store by the sound of it. And I'm thinking I might be slightly more chihuahua on the neck size. I've always been a bit of a lanky person, thin neck. So I'll ask for the best chihuahua dog collar they got.
My shorts
in the picture, they look pretty baggy. So I thought they're going to be great. They're just going to flap around. I'm going to be nice and cool. But I tried them on and maybe I shouldn't have been squatting as much because they're not loose at all.
I cannot wait for you to squeeze into those tight shorts. Wowee. What a treat that's going to be for all of us. Well, I mean, look, you've gone all mesh. I can't be disappointed with that. And just for all of our listeners, we've actually already discussed this in our chat, but the forecast for Berlin, which is outside, looks particularly rainy. So I can't wait to see how Paul's leather gear holds up in the rain.
It could be weighing me down. I might have to ditch the trench coat.
You know what? That would be okay. That would be okay. Right, before we delve into any type of team tactics, we are, of course, missing one of the team members, Andy, and he's currently on his flight home back from High Rocks Malaga. But Mikey, you caught up with him the other day, I believe, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So we had a little chat last week, and this is what he told me. Andy, tell me, are you ready for the Rock Zone podcast High Rocks Berlin challenge?
Absolutely not. It's one of those things that when you get closer to something, you think, I don't know about this anymore.
You're not getting cold feet on us now, are you?
No, absolutely. Here, there'll be no cold feet there with all that shiny leather. There'll be nothing.
And then thick boots.
maybe the small waistcoat might let me cool down a bit.
Right, okay. As we're talking about it, tell me, what's your outfit looking like?
So I don't know why, but I decided to suggest to go with the blade theme.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long leather type. I don't think it's real leather. Black jacket, black shiny trousers.
Yeah.
A unnecessarily small sequin waistcoat. That's just a wee I don't think that's a blade thing. I think that's just a wee added thing.
Nice. On, nice.
A Mohican wig.
Yeah.
And some brutally cheap reflective sunglasses.
You've got what? Sorry, some sheep.
No, it's reflective sunglasses.
Oh, nice. Sorry, I thought you said brutally sheep or something like sheep. You said sheep. Sorry.
Well, I'll try and get a sheep if that's what's required.
Well, I mean, the brief was Berghain, so I mean, I feel like that wouldn't go amiss in that nightclub.
Yeah, well, famous for not having set rules, so maybe they might. The end of that.
I was listening to another podcast this morning, and they were talking about going to the Berghain, and they were saying that apparently there's a piss goblin in there, someone who likes to get weed on. So I mean,
well, you know what, that doesn't surprise me. Of course there is.
What stations would you like to do during the race? What ones do you think you're strongest at?
Well, the one I hate the most, and it doesn't make sense, is the ski. I detest everything about it. I hate it. No matter what I do, it doesn't. I would rather do wobbles.
Yeah.
See, if a high rocks was the opposite way around, I generally don't know if I would do it. to have a ski at the end is terrible. But in regards to what I would like, this will sound crazy. I quite like the burpees. I'm a burpees fan.
We're sadistic together.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. So, sorry, he's wearing a trench coat, is he?
Yeah. So he's going for the blade theme. So he's even got a Mohican wig, sunglasses, trench coat, the lot, the whole shebang.
Okay. Well, can we collectively decide now what would be the least convenient to do in that attire? I think burpees might actually be quite good with a mohawk like attached to his head.
Yeah,
but what's the other one that we're giving him? I think we should give him the ski. I think we should. I mean, he's already not showed up to the recording. I mean, is there any objections from Paul or Reese?
Well, before you dive into that, Nathan's been doing some homework, haven't you, Nathan? So do you want to share your sort of opinions, or should I say stats, on what you've designed for the lads?
Yeah. Opinions isn't the right word. I've been running my model overnight. So running the 2,520 different permutations. What I did is I searched the four best races from all of our team members and looked up their times for each station. And then the model tells me what order to put them in to get their quickest station times overall. Mm. So the quickest one is maybe not doable because it would have Max going back to back. On Max, do you know what it would be? I guess you know what you're strong at, right?
Sled, pull, and burpees. Is it
that? Exactly? Yeah. Your quickest race. I mean, you always smash a sled pull, and your burpees were ridiculously quick as well.
Okay.
But I'm assuming you want to have a bit of a break. So the combination which has everyone having a break of an equal
Nathan,
size
I'm
going break.
To stop you right here. You're not seriously going to tell us we're going against the data. We're going to do exactly what the model tells us to do.
You want to go, but the model doesn't factor in that you won't be resting. I mean,
well, then that's your fault, Nathan. I mean, I was expecting your model to take that into account.
Surely it's got a rest work ratio built into it.
I built it in. I'm telling you, that's the quickest if you don't consider that. But if you do consider it, which I'll go for, is. In any case, Andy, I have not factored in preferences either, and Andy is in the ski.
Right? So that's happening.
And then it's got Paul coming in on the sled push, Max on his favoured sled pull, and then Reese on the burpees, and then the same order again for the back four. So Andy on the row, Paul Farmer's carry, Max on the lunges, and Rhys, who's got an amazing wall ball time, finishing it off.
Okay. Well, fine. That sounds like a pretty good setup to me. Paul, Rhys, what are your thoughts?
I'm pretty pleased with that, actually. I'm not going to lie. I'm not arguing.
I absolutely trust the data. So who am I to go against Nathan's analysis?
Is the right answer, Paul.
The sled push was a...
Yeah, Paul's got a quick sled push. I'm
surprised by that.
Yeah, 147.
Oh, wow.
Was it from his best race?
That is
race.
Fast.
Strong. How did I do... I don't... Well, yeah, that seems way too quick. Are you sure you got the right person?
I mean, I don't know. There might be another Paul
it's
England.
It's a very popular name. Many of us doing Hyruxes. I'm a little bit anxious about the sled push, but I feel like the farmer's carry could cancel it out a little bit. So thanks for the farmer's carry.
Well, this damn. my problem with all of this is that Nathan's run the 2,524 permutations or however many there were, and then decided not to go with that and just base all of it on opinion at the end because you've not followed the model, Nathan. What was the point of that?
What? No, that's the quickest order when you all have a break of three stations. Okay. That was the quickest one.
Fine. Okay.
So, you know, but...
But what Nathan means to say is, and to round this conversation up, boys, will we be taking our outfits to Berghain and trying to get into the nightclub?
Absolutely.
Most certainly. I hope so. Fine.
I think you've got to take a wool ball with you. If you if you're carrying wool balls, they'll let
Well,
them.
If Andy's not got a sheep, you can have a wool ball. There you go.
I can try and hide it under my top, but I don't think it's going to be very well hid under the fishnet crop top.
Not much left to the imagination there. Okay. Paul, Rhys, thanks so much for joining us. I will see you next weekend, and I cannot wait for us to get dressed up in our leather outfits.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. See you next week.
Before we go, just one final quick reminder for you to join us for our 100th episode at Hyrox London. If you're in the area, if you're racing, please do come down to the Cumberland Arms just around the corner from Kensington Olympia, where the race is held. Sunday, 5th of May at around 5 p.m. We're going to be confirming that in due course. But bear that in mind. We want to see as many of you there as possible. We want to celebrate this milestone with all of you lovely listeners who've been there for us, sharing this journey with us. So, everyone's invited. We couldn't be more excited. And that's an intentional rhyme we're going to end on. 3, 2, 1, Rock Zone out.
Rock Zone out.
Rock Zone out.